Now, Dame Brandon is in for Dame Shirley. Dame Shirley's not feeling too good. She is at home and she is listening, and maybe she is by a telephone, and she may even be well enough to give us a call in a little while. But there's two subjects that we're going to do. The first one is hers, because she's been watching this Borstal program.
Yeah, Borstal. Yeah, I had a little search up on the internet, Dame, because obviously you're not well enough to come in and obviously talk about it. But it's basically, Borstal is a type of youth detention centre, or was basically an idea of detaining youth and kind of correcting them in a nice term. I actually have here, in quotes, intend. It doesn't sound very professional when I looked at the page, but sorry, I just had a drink.
A
drink.
Oh, a drink. I thought you said a joint. Didn't you think he said a joint as well? I've just had a joint.
But yeah, it's basically just a bunch of kind of ideas that were made a long time ago, because it's actually been cancelled out now due to an act that came in, you know, all the acts that come in from government, right. Which was the Criminal Justice Act of 1982, and it abolished the Borstal system, because it was basically taking young people, putting them in prison, and making them kind of correct, like, you know, teaching them right ways of society and stuff.
A correction centre?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay.
So when was it they did away with it?
1982, when, I'm guessing that's when Maggie
Thatcher.
Yeah.
It was obviously happened in her time. Okay, there's lots of things that people will blame Maggie Thatcher for. I'm not sure whether, you know, banning or getting rid of Borstals is one of them, but fascinating. I mean, Shirley's put on a page, if you've been following the programme Bring Back Borstal on the television, what are your thoughts? I think they should. We've got a phone call coming through. Hi, who's this?
Hiya, Ian.
Hello, it's Dame Shirley. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm Dame Brendan. this Borstal,
yeah.
I think they should bring it back, but not the way it used to be.
Right.
But the programme now, they sort of brought it up to date.
Okay.
I mean, you have to watch it to really see what I mean. But it's not horrible. They weren't awful people or anything.
Yeah, while reading the programming, sorry, Ian, it did say that the recruits weren't beaten or anything. Or,
oh, no, not
cause
at all.
Yeah, in the olden days, they used to be quite brutal on obviously, yeah, younger people. But but some of them did pull out on the actual program.
Yeah, because the youngsters that they had on there had already been to prison a few times.
Yeah, there were convictions.
That's right.
Yeah,
so they actually volunteered to come and have a go at this. So they were free to go if they wanted to go.
Yeah.
But two of them at the end of the program, one's gone to university and one's taken up another career. You know, they're taught how to do things. Instead of sitting in the cells playing on their Xboxes and watching telly, I think they should be up and doing things. This is what the programme's about.
Yeah.
Mm.
What did they do? What crime did they commit to actually be on the programme and in the Borstal?
They were only petty crimes.
So what kind of petty crimes were they, though?
Well, like stealing or things like that. They'd only gone to prison for, what, 2 or 3 months or something, but some of them had re-offended more than once.
See, I used to be like you, Dame Shirley, and think, yeah, bring back Borstals for all those kids that don't, you know, they don't. But then I think to myself, if I was in a Borstal because I've done something like, you know, petty theft, or I'd given somebody a clump or whatever, and then I go and watch the television and I watch Liverpool play and somebody's stamping on someone's foot and they've bitten them. You know, three times he's got away with that, and yet, what is he rewarded with? £75 million new contract. Mm. You know, I just look at that and think, hang on a minute, that's a bit sort of, you know, topsy-turvy, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely, but I think this is a sort of, if they've stolen or beaten somebody up or something, instead of the court sending them to prison for 2 or 3 months or whatever, I think put them into Borstal for a month. But the way they did it on the television was nothing like what they used to do it. Nothing at all.
So I know there was a program a good few years ago where they had it may have been pre-army camps. Dennis Waterman hosted it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of horrible. I only saw about 5 minutes of this particular program, and it was the bit that was on last week where this guy was in bed and he wouldn't get up and he wouldn't have a shave.
They tipped the bed up.
And they put him in isolation.
That's right. That's the only thing that I didn't like. But if you'd watched all the programme, you see them having a lovely time in a bakery, learning how to make bread, and somebody was learning carpentry, and that it was. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. I mean, I kind of, you know, maybe what they should do is the packaging that's wrong, isn't it? You know, maybe rename it Borstal.
Yes, definitely.
You know, Borstal sounds a bit sort of, I mean, we know what a Borstal was because we're of that era. We remember those things.
And, and
basically, you want, it, if it was a correction centre.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
That sounds.
Yeah, it sounds very boisterous as a.
It does, yeah. but then I think if you are, I don't know what we'll come to the young lads in a mo. We're just going to ask them a question in a mo. But you know, just say for instance, if you're in there for petty theft, or you've given somebody a bit of a clump,
and now
you're going to Borstal, and you're going to be corrected.
No, call it something else. You're right.
No, I'm just saying it as it is at the mo, because as it is at the moment, you know, if you're that youngster that's been taken to Borstal because you've clumped somebody, and yet week in, week out, we watch people being abused on a football pitch, biting, stamping, that kind of thing. And just say, for instance, you get the rock stars that are on chat shows talking about their drug habits.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, hang on a minute. You know, which is worse here? I'd feel a bit aggrieved if I was sent to a Borstal or a correction centre because I've done that. Yeah. When these people are on the television,
a lot of money from it as well.
And I say, look at this guy that used to play for Liverpool. £75 million odd Barcelona spent on him after his last misdemeanour, which was, I think, his third time of biting somebody.
Yeah, well, he should be sent to a correction centre then.
Well, absolutely.
You know? You know, I think anybody that does things like that should be some sort of punishment, but I don't think prison's any good for these youngsters.
I agree with that, and I know that you've got a little bit of knowledge on the old prison thing, because your husband used to work in a prison, didn't he?
Yeah,
so,
you know, I mean, all they do is sit and do what they want to do all day, you know, sit and watch the telly, let's call it a correction centre then. They get them up at 7 in the morning, they make them get up, they're not allowed to sit in their rooms all the time, all day. They've got to be doing something.
And that's the thing, isn't it? The picture of prison has now kind of changed from being locked in a room with your bars and you can see a bit of sunlight coming through and you sit there and it's cold and damp.
Yeah.
And then you've been told to go and, you know, just wait there. It doesn't really, you know, it changes that picture when you know it's a white room, it's nice and bright in there, there's a TV in there and you can sit there and you don't have to do anything.
That's right, you get all your meals done and everything, you've got nothing to worry about.
Prison should be something that people should fear to go into.
That's right.
Where you have to work hard. You know, in America they do that whole thing of if you're in prison you have to work for your stay.
Right. That's
you know,
right.
Every morning you have to go wake up, take your pickaxe, whatever you're doing, and sit there picking at some rocks.
Yeah.
You know, it's back-breaking work.
I mean, they had these youngsters, they made a coconut chai, and they took it down to the village, and they all took part in the village fete. You know, things like that.
Yeah, that's getting with the community. It's a good way of changing someone who's, you know.
Yeah, they changed these youngsters on the telly. There was just two of them that walked away that couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I've got both of them on my phone here. One of them was he was overweight, wasn't he? He was a bit of a...
I think so, yes.
And he said that he couldn't handle it due to the exercise and the unbearing stress.
That's right.
Another one was a person who was done for... Yeah, for fraud.
Yeah.
And then there was one called Casey here I've got.
Yeah, one of them went back in again, though.
Yeah, I think it was Casey that came back in, because he went home to go and see his missus, who was pregnant.
He had some trouble at home, I think.
He was raised in care homes from the age of 7.
That's right, but he voluntary went back in again.
Yeah.
You know, they all did it voluntary, and well, I think it's a good idea, because I don't think they would re-offend so much as what they do now.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, okay,
hang on a sec, because you know, I've got some messages here. Nick from Cyprus.
Yeah.
Discipline, routine, and respect hurts nobody. Our society would function a lot better if we had more.
Yeah.
Den says, love this program, but them just being able to leave when they want is kind of defeating the purpose. So, I mean, the thing to remember is it still is only a television program.
And it was voluntary, yeah.
Swampy says none of them would have lasted 10 minutes in the real Borstals, approved schools and detention centres of yesteryear.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add before you go, Shirley?
No, that's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being there.
Okay. I'm going to switch you back on now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Hope you're feeling better soon.
Yes,
bye.
Bye.
That was Dame Shirley, who's not here today, and that's why Dame Brandon's there, because Dame Shirley needs to be near the toilet. So, guys, what do you think so far? I mean, do you think, what's your opinion? Borstals, correction centres, would you agree with them? I mean, you're both kind of in that age where if you misbehaved and maybe clumped somebody or, you know, some petty theft, you might get put in one. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It's people back in line, doesn't it?
Do you feel like you should be, you know, there should be a bit of discipline there?
Well, yeah, because they can't just let them get away with, they want to act like that. They're not going to grow up being like that for the rest of their life, so you've got to...
Lewis, just move yourself in a little bit closer to that microphone. Okay, all right. No, it's interesting. I'm going to ask you a question. I used to go to school with your dad, and we're obviously the same age. And in our lifetime, when we were at school, we had the cane, and it used to act as a deterrent. Cane in the high school, I think it was a slipper in the downside in the middle school. I mean, by the time you went to school, that was done away with. Do you feel like maybe, you know, that should have been, you know, in schools whilst you were there? I mean, you're still there now, but do you feel that they should have that kind of discipline or not?
Well, I don't know. It's like, that's sort of a lot different from putting them in a Borstal, isn't it? But it's just like, that's just like hitting them when they've misbehaved, whereas if you like put them in a Borstal and they're forced to work and listen to what people are saying, otherwise,
take away the liberty is probably going to work as well, isn't it? Because I mean, you I'm guessing come out of school and think, right, okay, I've got lots of things I want to do, and all of a sudden if you weren't allowed to do them, it's going to hit you hard. Would you learn from that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what about you, Izana? Izana's in as well. Izana's a lover, not a fighter. So get yourself on that microphone, Izana.
Yeah, I think it is a good idea. Yeah.
Do you think that the name is perhaps a bit harsh? Borstal. Would you prefer correction centre?
Yeah, correction centre for user. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just get yourself a little. It won't bite you, honestly. Honestly, it won't bite you. A correction centre rather than a Borstal.
Yeah, correction
centre. Okay, so if you did something like, you know, if you clumped somebody, or you know, you've assaulted somebody, or you know, it's done for petty theft, or you know, you've been smoking funny stuff in town and stuff, and you were caught and you went to a correction centre. Do you think that's the correct punishment for you? Or do you think that's a bit harsh? No. Considering you can switch on the television and watch footballers do that very same thing, not smoking while they're playing football, but, you know, they're basically, you know, in some cases...
They take harder stuff than that, Mac.
Assaulting, I bet they do, but, you know, assaulting their own players, they kind of get away with. I mean, we've seen it many, many times. So would you feel a bit, you know, are done by?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, because they're celebrities, so they can just get, you know, they can get it away, whereas...
Well, yeah, but now we're getting somewhere. They're celebrities, so do you feel that's right that they get away with so much?
I don't think it's right, but, you know, there's not, like, much we can do about it. It's not like we can, like, go rebel against them or anything and say, no, don't,
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not the best, you know, best example, though, is it? I mean, it's not really setting an example.
No, it's not.
But so, I mean, do you feel that they should be punished just as much as everyone else?
Yeah.
Nodding doesn't.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Doesn't really work, does it? Yeah. there's somebody at home now in East Cow thinking, oh, I heard that nod. That was a very good nod. The other thing to mention about celebrity status here is those people that are in the correction centres that they are putting on the television now, of course, are celebrities, whether they like it or not, but they are now celebrities, aren't they?
Yeah, because they have their names now, fame, aren't they, really? They're noticed for something. It's
so is it a good thing that they can now go and get on with their life, and maybe, you know, you might see them popping up on television programmes because of their celebrity status now have shot them to fame? Is that a good thing, or is that a bad thing?
I don't know. It's like the, what's his name, the Y-Stone Raider?
Was it called Rystone?
That guy says, "Do you want Sham?" Yeah, you know that guy. I'll give it here. Him. He's become so famous over what the course of 3 months, and now he's like writing songs and such. And what was that thing he said for the Christmas thing? Sham and Cow, I'm coming for you. I'll give it yeah, that kind of thing. It's kind of some people get famous like that, and he you know, fame is a good thing for some people,
yeah.
Like the Wirestone Raider. He's given a lot of money to charity now for it, but it's also a bad thing because when people want to return to normal life, they might not be able to because you're always going to get almost penalised, aren't you, by all the what they call paparazzi and such. It's crazy.
Okay, there's lots of comments coming in. I've watched Bring Back Borstal each week, and it is really good viewing. Yes, I know that they are playing to the cameras, but to watch them change for the better is heartwarming. What a shame that Borstal couldn't be reopened again for all young offenders. I sincerely hope these boys, stroke men, get on in life. Maggie says, I haven't seen the programme, so can't comment on that. However, as I understand it, the original Borstals were horrible places where the young people were abused in many different ways. Not sure it would have taught them anything about life, but would have taught them how little worth they have in the world and how horrible people in authority can be when they are given complete control and are not monitored. Like most things that went on in that era, like sending children to Australia for a supposed better life when they ended up in slavery and being abused. It was suggested that Borstal gave the inmates respect. Not sure that happened. It may have stopped the inmates reoffending, but at what price? I'm not so sure they were as good as that they look at face value. I think there's some good points to make in there. And the five minutes that I was watching the programme, the one thing that really, really stood out was the people that were in there dishing out the discipline were really hard and puffed up. And you're thinking, how much of that is being played to the camera and how much of that is down to the power that you have? And the question is, you know, have they abused their power in any way? Have they overstepped the mark? And the answer is probably yes from the bit that I saw. So the question is, should we bring back Borstals? And Judy Smith says, me, definitely. But they wouldn't be given the choice to leave like the TV programme. They would have to stay. Maybe they should sign a disclaimer to say, I have to stay. What have we got here? We got Mar here from Manchester. We took a different message from this show. Two brothers had clearly had an awful, tough upbringing and was needed for someone to care for them. Listen to them and give them back some self-belief. Despite their record to date, they are far from beyond redemption. Just locking people up in comfort doesn't work. And I kind of agree with that, because
yeah.
I think you've got to listen to people that have actually worked in prisons to see, you know, I know that when we were youngsters, that, you know, when I say we, I mean I'm the old old fogey here. We've got a couple of 17-year-olds and an 18. I was always led to believe that when you went to prison, you had bread and water and the lights were out by 9 o'clock.
Exactly. That's what I thought the whole picture was of prison. But it's changed, isn't it?
Because
obviously acts and such is against human rights to take away what their liberties are and such.
So let's ask you, what do you think a prison should be? Should it be you know, or a Borstal or a correction centre? Should it be lights out at 9 o'clock and bread and water?
I think it should be a place that you should fear, because it's a place you don't want to go. You know, it's almost like the whole thing about heaven and hell, isn't it? You know, you want to go to heaven, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to prison, but you want to make as much as you can in life, you know.
If you believe.
If you believe, obviously. But I would say definitely, prison should be a place of, you know, you get woken up in the morning, you need to do your work, you need to do chores, you don't get to sit around and do nothing. You know, any misbehaviour, you get put in, you know, solitary confinement or what have you. If you're a young perpetrator or whatever, I think a correction centre would be a good idea. You know, to kind of tell you to keep people in order. You know, in the Chinese, like, democracy and such in Korea, if you do anything wrong, you get pretty much locked up and banned from everyone. I mean, you go in history, Saudi Arabia, if you stole anything, you got your hands cut off.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know, it's changed. A lot has changed. You practically get pedicured in, you know, you get pampered and such in this prison. You can sit in a nice warm bed and just, society will pay for me because I've done wrong because of society. No, you've done wrong because you've got no order in your life. There's no control.
Okay. Now look, he's frowning. what are your thoughts on that, Izana?
I think, you know, maybe in prison they shouldn't have, like, you know, let them be laid back and all that. They've obviously done something wrong. But, you know, like, take away, like, the TV or Xbox or whatever they have there that makes them...
Bread and water? Bit going a bit far, a bit extreme, do you think?
A bit extreme.
Lights off at 9 o'clock? Do you think that's a good thing?
Around 9 o'clock. And, you know, like, you know...
What, because you have to go to bed at 9 o'clock?
No.
What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I reckon. Like, the whole bread and water thing, I think that's a good idea.
You're harsh, you are, aren't you?
Well, yeah, it should be, if you get rewarded in prison, you get a nice meal. That's what it should be, you know, because that's how it used to be. You know, for this, in centres these days, if you're a good little boy in prison, then you get your Xbox or your TV and you get to lounge around for 4 hours, but, you know, they get fed, not, you know, normally, but, yeah, definitely, I think bread and water and, like, the bare minimums and such, and if you're good and you're understanding the rules and you're beginning to come back into society, then you should be allowed to have a nice roast dinner or what have you.
Yeah, let's not forget that, okay, we call it prison, but it is kind of, hopefully, it's some kind of big correction centre where they're trying to...
retake you back into society, basically. Yeah, it's kind of that thing of, you've been naughty, go to the detention room.
So you've got to have some kind of incentives. That's the point here. So what else have we got here? Judy says, try watching the programme and working with secondary school students and you may change your mind. I don't agree with the barbaric side. However, the bits I listed are needed. I just don't want my mature years run by disrespectful hooligans who just don't give a monkeys. Who will end up on benefits? I knew some change, but there are loads who fall through the net. What else have we got here? Bring Back Borstal. This is Harry. Bring Back Borstal isn't a reality show. In the real Borstal, the boys weren't allowed to say that they wanted to go home after a couple of days or weeks. They would just walk out like the boys acting for the camera in that show. And when they had visitors, they wouldn't have visited in private rooms like in the show that's been on the television. And I agree with that. I don't think we can get a real insight, because it is a television programme and they can walk out at any moment. And the thing is, it's not just the inmates that are playing up. You've obviously got the people that are dishing out the corporal punishment or whatever, the rules and regulations. They're obviously playing up to the camera as well, because they would, because they're on TV.
So, but
would it be fair to film a proper correction centre then? You know, would it be fair?
It defeats the object, doesn't it, if you can walk out? That's like almost going into a... It's like standing in a prison room where there's nothing nice in there and the door's wide open, and it's kind of like, I can sit here if I like, or I can walk out whenever I get bored in here. It should be... Because I'm guessing, yeah, they are. They've been done for convictions, haven't they? They should be put in there, and that they should be recorded without knowing, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, have all the cameras and such. It worked better that way.
Okay, it's almost 12:30. That's part one done and dusted. Then we should be back with part two, and we should be asking the question. We've got enough experience the other side of the desk to tell us and put us straight. Are we teaching the right things in our schools? Do we teach enough practical stuff? Do we learn how to cook and so on and so forth? So join us for part two when we come back. If you want to give us a call, you can, 240666. Got an awful lot of messages to read out as well.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
The Hair Lounge is a unisex hairdresser's in both Newport and Ryde. With its experienced team of stylists, we pride ourselves in offering great-looking hair at affordable prices. Whether you are looking for expert colouring to precision cutting, at The Hair Lounge, we pride ourselves on being a forward-thinking salon, which uses the industry's leading brands and techniques to always make sure our clients look and feel their very best. Call them 01983 718584 or visit them 35 James Street in Newport. The Hair Lounge are also at 9 Cross Street in Ryde, or call 01983 564447. The Hair Lounge, great hair at affordable prices.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. Interested in our services? Then get in touch with us via the form on our contact page and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or email lclandscaping37@gmail.com. That's lclandscaping37@gmail.com. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high-quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
Get out of bed, Morley. You can't stay there all day.
Why bother? I have nowhere to go. My friends are either at school, college or work.
You won't find a job lying in bed or sat watching telly.
I have no qualifications, though, and no experience. I can't even get a job.
Why don't you call CLC? They will help you onto a traineeship programme where you can get the qualifications you need and the work experience for a great job.
In some rubbish job I hate?
No, you get to choose what you want to do, and you get an iPad mini when you finish, and free bus travel, and £100.
What was the number again?
CLC, 01983 533 993.
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and homing cats on the Isle of Wight since 1961. Every year we help hundreds of island cats find their new forever homes. If you are thinking of adopting a new feline friend, then come along to the Isle of Wight Adoption Centre and we'll be happy to help you. We have cats of all ages, colours and personalities so we can find a cat for you. Find us in Marlborough Ride or check out our website isleofwight.cats.org.uk for more information. We're open Wednesday to Sunday 10 till 4 with late opening on Fridays till 7. Our cats can't wait to come home with you.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, West White Audio. Reasonable prices and all island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no obligation chat. Email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Just one final comment. I can't believe this music's playing. I thought I deleted it. Sorry, apologies for that. Oh, I feel like I had a little dance coming on. I'm breaking some plates. just one final comment on the previous subject that we were talking about. Should we bring back Borstal centres? Mr C says, it depends on whether you are looking at just punishment or some kind of rehabilitation. If you go for the punishment, only route all that will happen is that you'll turn out people who feel that they have no place in society and they'll just carry on reoffending, which is a good point to make. Now, we're going to go for part two, which is do we teach the right subjects in schools? And I sometimes wonder whether, you know, and this isn't a dig at the teachers because they are told what they have to teach. And I do believe that if they were teaching how to cook, how to manage money, that sort of thing, I think, you know, when people leave school, they should be in a position where they feel like they're ready for the big wide world. Here's an honest question, Lewis. I mean, you're 17 years old. You're 18 later this year. You'll probably go to university at some point as well. Do you reckon you're ready for the big wide world?
Not at all, no.
Why not? And admire your honesty, by the way.
Well, because I don't know how to cook, and I'm not good with money and
right,
just stuff like that.
Okay.
Things that are fundamental in life.
Which, you know, you're not alone, and you're really not alone. I mean, yeah. I would say that you're, forgive me, slightly lazy with the cooking because you've got someone that's going to do
definitely
it for you.
Yeah, I'm very reliant on my parents and...
Not just that you've got chefs in the pub that will cook for you, no doubt.
Yeah.
So you would struggle with the cooking side of things then? Okay. So that's kind of, you know, it's in a way it's kind of scary, but in a way it's honest and it's true and you're not the only one. There's so many other people out there that are having the same kind of issue. So you would struggle with the cookery, but Izani, you wouldn't. You wouldn't at all. You'd be...
cooking. I can cook.
So you'd be okay. Now, where did you learn to cook? It certainly wasn't at school, was it?
No, it wasn't at school. It's from my mom. I only learned to cook last year, though.
So here's a question then. you know, when it comes down to basic cookery or survival cookery, you're left on your own for 24 hours. You could survive.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it come down to your parents or does it come back down to the school? Which do you think, or a bit of both?
Parents. Yeah.
Because it should come from the parents, not the school.
Yeah, I think it should come from the parents.
And what do you think, Lewis?
Well, they do have, like, cooking classes and stuff at school. Like, you have, like, food tech and stuff.
Yeah.
So, they do... They don't just not teach you how to do it.
So, when you have food tech, what do you learn? Do you,
I never did it, but...
You never did it.
So.
Do you think it should be... You should have to do it?
Because... Yeah, I suppose. I think you should, yeah.
Because for the same reasons you do... You have to do PE, I'm guessing. Everyone has to do physical education at some point, yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe it's a case of maybe we should all learn how to, you know, even if it's just survival skills with you know, or you know, if you're cooking chicken, we all know that you've got to cook chicken in a way, otherwise you could get germs and you could make yourself very ill. So that makes perfect sense. How strongly do you feel that you weren't or haven't been given the opportunity to learn how to cook at school?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really too fussed about it because I'm sure I'll learn. But, you know, it would have been nice to know.
All right, okay.
Later on, yeah.
Interesting. Well, so you, Zana, I mean, you've learnt how to cook. You're all right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, other skills that you think, hey, hang on a minute, I wish I'd, you know, are you ready? Do you feel that you're ready for the big wide world?
Well, I don't think anybody my age is really ready for the big wide world. But...
You'll be surprised. There are people out there that are ready for the big wide world, and as soon as they leave school, they hit the ground running, and they go off. They get themselves a job. They can cook. They can manage their money. They know how a bank works, and you know, before they know it, they're married, children, got mortgages, and so you know, there are people that are ready. There are people that aren't, and there are reasons why those people aren't. And I think it comes down to, you know, the schools, the subjects in schools. Again, this is not a poke at the teachers, because I think the teachers do a fantastic job, and I think they're handcuffed a lot of the time. This is someone else that has taken the decision not to put certain things in schools. We used to get taught metalwork years ago. Nowadays, and woodwork, obviously, we spoke to Brandon just now, and there's obviously only certain things that you can do whilst doing woodwork. You weren't trusted with the bandsaw or anything like that. To me, that's kind of pointless. We were using saws when we were kids. We made an oar when we went to boat building and stuff like that. But we were actually, you know, getting capable, doing things with our hands. Whereas, what's the most thing you can do within a school at the moment? What's the most creative thing using tools? Could you put a plug on?
No.
Yes.
I couldn't. No.
Hang on, you say yes.
Wait, a plug on?
Yeah, could you put a... I don't mean like switch a plug on. I mean, could you actually change a plug? That's like putting a plug onto three wires and wire up a plug.
No.
You couldn't do it. Could you change a light bulb?
Yes.
You could change it. What about
you?
Oh,
yeah, I could change a light bulb, yeah.
Okay, but you couldn't change a plug?
No.
Okay, could you change a plug?
Well, like a fuse.
Well, yeah, okay, change a fuse. Could you change a fuse?
Easy. Take it out, unscrew it, open it up, keep all the metal wires where it is, put the fuse in.
Are you aware of, you know, what the wires are?
Yeah, green is ground, which is the safe wire, I think it is. It's the wire that you don't want to... touch any other wires with.
Earth?
Yeah, the earth wire, as I said, yes, the ground wire.
Yeah.
Red and blue, they need to be next, they need to be on the left. Blue is on the left, I think red was on the right.
Okay.
And them two need to correspond, and it works. One of them's made with copper. I think it's the ground wires with copper. I don't know much about electrics, obviously, but I know that that's how it usually is. Your ground wire is the top one.
Would you let Brandon change a plug in your house?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not sure I would.
No, that's fair enough. I'm not an electrician, sure. But
are you, how confident would you be, you know, changing a plug?
I'm confident with a lot of stuff. If it's hands on, I'll try it first time. Even if I'm going to get it wrong, I'll try it to see how it works.
Okay. What about you guys? Would you guys know how the washing machine works?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Would you guys know what to shove into a microwave and what you couldn't put in a microwave?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you're now saying, yeah, of course I could, yeah. So you have got an amount of skills there, then. You have got an amount of talents there. So you would be able to cope, which is a good thing.
So, depends what you wanted me to microwave, I suppose.
Well, I mean, you know, we're not expecting fantastic things. You're not expecting Chef of the Year. It's all about survival, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's
playing a rust as well. It's very basics.
Just other things that cross my mind is when we were at school years ago, and I say we, it's only me here because you were all teenagers. You know, if it snowed, we would have to still go to school. Whereas you guys, you probably get the day off, don't you? Health and safety. I mean, do you think that's right? Do you think that's right or wrong?
That's right.
That's what you should have the day off.
Yes, because we go to school like a whole year. Why not just take one day off?
Because of the snow.
Yeah, it's just snow. Let's enjoy it.
You don't think that, Lewis, do you?
I hate snow.
You hate snow?
Yeah, it's cold and wet. It's annoying.
But how would you feel if suddenly they said, Izana, that, hey, look, you're not having a day off today. We're going to teach you what happens when it snows. And we haven't got any electric, so we're going to show you what it's like when you haven't got any electric. How would you feel?
I'd just stay at home.
You wouldn't go to school, you'd stay at home. You rebellious. What would you say, Brandon? What would you think?
What if they say, oh, you have to come into school and learn stuff in the dark?
Yeah. No, this is what it's like.
I want to go out and play in the snow.
Of course you do. Of course you do, because you've got that teenage mind thing going on. But wouldn't it be better to say, hey, look, you're not going to school today, okay? We're going to teach you what it's like without any electric. So put your coat on, and we're gonna teach you, what it's like in other countries where they haven't got any electric. You're not going to want that, are you?
No.
So, you know, some people would say Britain has gone soft, and I've got three soft
things. I was going to say Britain has gone soft. You notice we're all kind of born with soft hands, aren't we? And we're not really controlled as really are we, as it used to be 20, 30 years ago. It used to be very strict.
Okay, look, Penny says, no, they don't, and yes, they should at school and at home. Shakespeare's all well and good for those thespians amongst us, but more practical skills would be more beneficial and available to all. I wanted to do woodwork at school, but it was only for the boys back then. And guess what? I wanted to do cookery, but it was only available for the girls back then. Karen Broom says, yes, the important things should be taught, like how to balance your money, cookery, and how to change a plug or put up a shelf, even tune in a TV. Could you tune in a TV?
Yep, I used to do that a lot because it was the only way to get a Super Nintendo working. I was the techie when I was 5 years old in my house. My mum used to stick on this thing. How does it work? It's like you put the SCART in there, mum, you flick that on, you got to put this on auto-tune, and it starts to tune it for you. And I learned how to tune with PAL60 and...
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. What about you guys?
I was the same. I was the
could you tune in the
most
television?
Technically advanced in the family. So
see, that's what happens now. I know a story. It's a lovely story as well. That some of the estate agents on the Isle of Wight, they now employ a lot of youngsters your age to show them how the technology works. And whilst they're selling houses, the youngsters know how to sell houses. So they're teaching each other. And it's a wonderful thing. When it comes down to the technology, you're probably more switched on than we are. So do you get taught enough technology at school, or do you guys pick it up very quickly? You don't need it anyway.
I've just been good at it my whole life, so I've just been sort of picked up on it. Like my mum would bring home a TV and she'd be like, right, Lewis, you can do this, you can set it all up for me. I'm like, all right, here you go.
Okay, what about you, Izana?
I think it's just because it's our generation, so I think they expect us to know how to use that kind of stuff.
Could you tune in a television? Yeah. If you brought a TV home from Curry's or somewhere else, you've probably got a good deal, £399. Maybe it's a smart TV. Dame Shirley's probably looking at one right now as we speak. But if you brought one home, could you plug it in and get to watch it?
Yeah.
You'd be able to do it?
Yeah.
You'd know what wires to plug in where, which is good. But you don't know how to put a plug on.
I don't
know. So what if it needed a plug?
I just called the repairman.
You called a repairman?
Yeah, I just know how to ring in. And stuff.
Sorry, it opens up the plug. It just needs a C6 fuse. What's that? I have one in the car. You can pay me 10p for it, and you can pay me £6 for the hour. Oh, it'd be probably about 12 quid for the hour.
Yeah. The rest. Yeah. And then a call-out charge well. Could you put a shelf up?
Yeah.
You could put a shelf.
I helped my dad when I was younger with shelves. I do the practical stuff.
Okay, so you better get the drill out and you better measure it, put the screws in and the wall plugs and stuff. Would you guys be honest? Would you be able to put a shelf up?
Yeah, I helped my dad put together a whole room once with IKEA cabinets and stuff.
Okay, and did he trust you with it?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, what about painting? Would you be able to paint a wall?
Yeah.
Paint, yeah.
Well, how would you paint a wall?
With one of those rolly sticks.
Ah, this is
one of those rolly sticks. I love the technology. All right, so how would you do into the corners? Would you use your roller on that as well?
No.
No. What would you use for that?
A small paintbrush.
Into the microphone. So you might
a small paintbrush.
A small paintbrush. See, that's. And where did you pick that technique up? Where did you pick that talent up?
I didn't pick it up anyway.
You just watch. You watch somebody
some
else do it.
Some gaffer tape might be needed for that as well, because you might get it on the ceiling as well.
Oh, if you're good enough, you don't need gaffer tape.
My mum's crazy when it comes to painting. She's changed the front room. She literally changes it every 3 months. The whole colour, literally every time.
Right.
And it's a pain. It's a pain.
But you do you then when she's doing it?
I watch her, yeah.
I
see what she does. She has a technique of when she's using the roller, you go up twice, and then you go down, and then what you do is you go up to the diagonally right. Yeah. And she does that all the way across the room, and then keeps on going down until eventually it's layered, nice and thick.
Is she doing it right, Azana? Is his mum doing it right?
I guess, yeah. Sounds right.
Do you want to go around and give her a hand? Because obviously you're the expert. Okay, education is all about passing government-set targets and very little else these days. I wish the education really served the purpose, but sadly it doesn't. The skills you mentioned could easily be incorporated in a life skills course that not only taught the basics, re-plug, changing, basic cooking, etc., also taught what mortgages are, interest rates, setting up a bank account, and job applications, CV writing. A course like this should be compulsory for all. We'll come back to you in a moment, guys, and see what you think on that. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Mrs. Webb here. Is son Jackie there, please?
Mrs. Webb? Are you after Jackie?
Yeah, I am. Is she by you?
No. Who have you called?
Oh, the Riverside, no?
No, this is Vectis Radio.
Sorry,
hey,
bye.
You're live on the radio.
No!
Yeah, you are. How funny is that? She's probably terrified now. Judy says, as someone said earlier, it's all about hitting targets. Teachers can't do their job properly as they have much interference from the government. There are some lovely students who want to work hard, however. They can't because of disruptive students. The teachers then spend valuable time on them rather than teaching. I would like to go. I'd like to keep going, but I had better not, as I work at a school on the island. Which obviously, again, that's the sort of thing that I would say, hey, Judy, you should know better then, really, to be quite honest. You could get yourself into trouble. But as Sue mentioned earlier on, what about a life skills course or a lesson of life skills?
What they should do is do a, what's it called, like a compulsory, is it called? Yeah, compulsory thing. Like with PE in our school in San Ambe, every Friday there had to be a PE lesson for everyone in the school to go to.
Right.
And they should do that with a life skill thing. You know, every week they do a new subject, they do a new thing, and they talk about it, and you can learn a bit about it. That's what they should do.
Okay.
Instead of having a course, because people won't look at that course, they'll just skip it.
What do you reckon, guys? Do you reckon they should or not?
Oh, yeah, I think that's quite a good idea.
Would you feel like, well, this, you know, not moan and groan about it. Hey, look, this is what we need. This is what we want. Would you, I mean, because you're now 17, do you feel differently than you did 12, 5 years ago? So if they had said, oh, you've got to learn how to cook age 12, would you feel a bit sort of, I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
But now you're getting closer to having to look after yourselves, because at some point you might go to university. At some point you might get a flat and so on. So you're going to need
You can't live on pot noodles or you get scurvy.
Well, obviously Lewis is going to live on baked beans.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's happy with that.
Yeah.
His flatmates think of farts, but that's cool.
20 minutes living in it, so...
All right, Keith says, we had metalwork and woodwork, also domestic science nowadays. It's all processed food or takeaway, and it's bunged in the microwave, Ian. How true do you reckon that is?
That's so true. Everything is very chemistry these days, isn't it? Food's not as real as it is, you know. It's if you ever pick up a packet in Tesco's, anyone can do this. Pick up a packet in Tesco and read the percentage of what is in it. They can't lie to you because it's consumable rights. You know, you can't say, oh, here's a bit of medicine. It has this in it and some other stuff, but we ain't gonna list it. That's illegal. You can sue them for that. So you know, you pick up a bit of chicken breast, you'll read it, 77% chicken. Then it'll go through water. The E products in it, everything, and that's all the stuff that is processed, which is slowly killing you. You know, you eat too much of that, and it will it will kill you.
Okay, look, you said just now you take a lot of notice of your mum because she decorates.
Yeah.
Every 3 months is a bit, you know.
She stopped, luckily enough. She's probably thinking about changing my room around now.
There will come a time when that room's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well, the thing is, I had to change my door and I had to unhinge it and flick it around so I had more room for it. Instead of opening inwards, it opens up outwards.
So when she's cooking then, do you actually take notice?
No, I just smell it. I do need to take more focus on mum cooking, but for cooking, I would rather watch my stepdaddy. He cooks some really good food.
I could cook omelettes by the time I was 9. Could you cook an omelette?
Omelette? No, I've never cooked an omelette before, but I have done one in school.
Could you cook a fried egg?
Yeah.
Can you fry an egg?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What about you?
No.
You couldn't fry an egg?
No, I couldn't.
Do you think at the age of 17, I'm not trying to embarrass you at all.
No, it's very embarrassing, yeah.
You know,
you've got to remember, though, loads of other people are on the exact same level. I know a girl who can't cook anything, and it's terrible, because it's kind of like, could you do me a sandwich? Okay.
A sandwich?
Yeah.
And she struggles with a sandwich. Yeah, but poor old Lewis over there, he can't even cook himself a fried egg.
Well, I can make a sandwich. That's not hard.
Well, okay.
Well, fried eggs is different, because you have to get out your pan. It's like making pancakes. Pancakes is easy. I love making pancakes because you just sit there, you get all that whatever it is. You can get the pancake mix automatically these days. Just put in a bit of milk and swish it around, make sure it's nice and thick, and stick it on the pan, rub it around, done.
There you go. Kevin's going to try. This is Dad, Kevin. Lewis is going to try this when he gets home. He's going to make himself some pancakes.
They are good pancakes. Mm.
So, how good a cook are you? Is Arnie? You say you can cook. You're quite happy to cook. You know, just say for instance. He's just talked about pancakes there. Could you go home and like make pancakes comfortably and know what you're doing?
Yeah.
See, that's to me that sort of. I look at you and I think, well, that's good to know. Poor old Lewis there's going to go hungry with his beans and his sandwich.
Well, I can live off beans.
Cold food. Angela says, my parents encouraged us to cook. We didn't have to be taught. The worst thing that they ever did was to get rid of the technical colleges. Which we've kind of still got the tech colleges. People go up there, and I'm guessing they. But that's like a further education. Surely, you know, I left school at 16. Your dad probably left school at 16 too. I bet he could cook. I bet he could, you know, fry an egg. I bet he. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. Honestly, I'm not. But I'm just saying that's the changes. The thing is, we used to do a lot more of those things at school. We were trusted a little bit more. Now, I don't know whether it comes down to trust or whether it comes down to, you know, red tape. You know, health and safety.
Yeah, health
gone
and safety
crazy.
Would be a major. Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It's a killer, health and safety. It's boring. You can't put up a rope swing anywhere, or health and safety will come and kick you up the tush.
Well, it's really strange that you say that, because the next message is from a lady that her mum, sadly she's no longer with us, but she was, you always used to tell the story of the Tarzan. Do you remember the story? Have you heard the story of the Tarzan? It was behind Downside Middle School. I bet your dad swung on it many times. We all had a go on it, and about 5 years ago it was cut down. And this Tarzan swing had been there for years and years and years, and somebody came along and chopped it off purely and simply because health and safety had gone crazy. No one had ever hurt themselves, seriously, on this Tarzan, but they chopped the blooming thing down. Lisa says, I'd like to see first aid taught regularly. Now, this is a great point.
That's a good one.
First aid. You ever been taught first aid?
No. Not personally, but...
So you know nothing about first aid? Izana? Into that microphone, otherwise you're going to need it.
Well, I know how to put a bandage on.
You know how to put a bandage on?
I just called a hospital or a clinic.
Friends just laying just there, not breathing, not conscious. We'll call someone.
Easy.
No, you are so laid back.
Well, I know how to give CPR.
You know how to do CPR?
Well, I've seen it be done, so...
Because most people will tell you that if you know, it's a scary thing that if you don't know what you're doing, you can actually make things far, far worse.
I know the recovery position and everything.
Okay, so what is the...
So to lie on their side with their arms.
And pull their tongue out. Pull their tongue out so they don't choke.
Tickle their chin. You're all right. Yeah, you're good.
So they don't teach first aid in schools.
You can take it as a course, I know that. For our COPE course, we was able to take the first aid bit for free. But sometimes you actually have to pay for first aid courses. Vary from £30 to £60, depending on what you're doing, level-wise. Level 1, 2 and 3.
Okay. Would you know what to do?
What, common sense wise, or for would if you went to the course?
Well, would you know what to do in the event of, just say, you know, our friend Lewis there just collapses on the on the floor there, and you know, would you know what to do?
Well, if he's just randomly collapsed now, then it's probably something wrong with his medical condition, because there's he hasn't hurt himself, he hasn't hit his head, he hasn't got, well, I doubt he can have a heart attack or a stroke at this age, and if he does, then he's either a very heavy smoker or a very heavy drinker or such. So yeah, if he's down to medical, and if he starts jibbing out on the floor, move everything away from him, he's having a epileptic seizure.
Look at the old doctor there. See, that's
common sense.
Yeah,
it's common sense. If you need basic knowledge and stuff.
Okay, Lisa also goes on to say that we did first aid at middle school, but it was just a one-off lesson, but there was nowhere near enough. And sign language would be another useful skill
that
to learn.
That would be really good, actually, sign language.
I know we do certain signs anyway, but, I mean, you know, they're not that helpful, are they, to be honest? Rachel Wu Wiggins says, so many views on this. I'm a maths teacher, but medically retired after breaking my back. But the amount of students that used to say, "Miss, when will I ever need two square, three square, and pi?" There is an answer to that, but not one that's going to help 90% of our school-age children. She also goes on to say that functional skills are the way forward, but I don't think that the exam boards have quite got that right yet either. Mark says all these things were taught in schools years ago, except running a bank account. There is just not enough time in the day for teachers unless they recruit many more, which they won't. And as for the respect, that's not the teacher's job. That's down to the parents and families. Targets are a nonsense. Always have and always will be. Andrew Steed says, sadly, Ian, it's all about targets and results in English and maths nowadays. Even in many primary schools, other subjects, whether they be practical or creative ones, they have been squeezed out by government agendas, Ofsted inspection requirements and SATs tests. Of course, English and maths are very important, but they're not the only things children should learn in school. Joanne says, our children only learn to meet targets in schools. Nothing else is supported, like emotional support. That is why I pulled my daughter from school and started home educating her a year ago. You'd like that, Izana. Joyce Salter says, they called domestic science when I was at school. Learned cooking as a lesson. And finally, David says, I quite like the old system of grammar and comprehensive, but maybe as a 13 plus rather than 11 plus. As someone who was more academic than technical at school, I feel that my education, admittedly it was in East London and not on the Isle of Wight, wasn't streamlined against my abilities. Certainly the schools would have better guidelines for their student rather than trying to accommodate everyone. Teresa finally says, not like they did when we were at school, Ian. It was much better. Obviously, we're going back to the 1970s, and you guys have, well, you were about to leave in the next year or so, and you've already left. So, what have we learnt today then?
I was just thinking while you're reading out all the bits there. If you don't record your history, you're destined to repeat it. So, I think history class should be a very important thing that people should know about.
You're very wise for your years.
No,
you
no,
really
just,
are. That's a wise thing to say.
I'm just thinking that history, I'd like to know a bit more about British history, because I know loads about America, I know loads about the Great War and such, but everyone knows about the Great War. You know, you want to know about that, you can go and talk to anyone, an old lady, or go to a care home or such, you know.
Okay.
But I think history should be a big thing, because if we don't know about it, we're destined to repeat it, aren't we?
I think that's a good point. What about you guys?
Actually, one of my friends that I'm living with at the moment, he's doing GCSEs at the moment, and his history doesn't have any black history in it, which is kind of upsetting, because I think more children should know about the black history, what they've obviously gone through and how they've got to this point. And
okay,
yeah, but yeah,
will you be on the show again tomorrow, because I've got a question to put to you?